Okay, hey Vod, we still busy with Kriya? We were discussing the lengthy extended prayer, which we have a source for in Moshe Rabbeinu's 515 tefillahs, and then we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu's quick tefillah. We said that a person who's an expert at what he's doing knows how to shoot one arrow and he gets to the target. And then we, sorry, and then okay. So the bottom line is here is there's an enormous mile in a lengthy tefillah, and there's an enormous mile in a quick, sharp tefillah. Menashe's tefillah, for example, is a tefillah katzara. But it was very well aimed and it hit the target. So we have to understand, therefore, what's with the long tefillah? If you can shoot somebody and win the war with one bullet, why do you need, if you can take one picture and get it right, why do you have to take 50? Yeah? Okay. I'm number M is set. Huh? No, we can put somebody who does know. Moshe Rabbeinu knew both. If Moshe Rabbeinu could have got into Eretz Yisrael with one piercing of Kanafana law, what did he have to double 515 tefillahs for? No. You see, there's a mile in a long tefillah, there's a mile in a short tefillah. We're talking about the biggest mumcha there was.
But how do we know that? Maybe that one thing, even though he knew how to use that tool, maybe he knew that that wasn't going to work.
Where did he know it wasn't going to work?
I mean, I'm
If you have a bullet and you can kill someone with one bullet, why shoot 50? We're trying to say what's the mile of a long tefillah if you can get everything you need with a short
saying
tefillah.
maybe he knew that he could use that for everything except for getting into Eretz Yisrael. Maybe.
What's the difference?
I mean that.
That's our question. My Indian arich is tefillah. We're asking, what do you have to have a long tefillah for if you can get away with a short one? I don't know the answer. You said maybe Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to daven a short tefillah for Eretz Yisrael.
No, I'm saying maybe Hashem made it that a short tefillah wouldn't work, even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew how.
You have to see. You know, I don't know. They were both pressing leave. Elkanah Fonala, please let me go into Eretz Yisrael. Let's see. Let's see. Well, let's see what he says. I don't know what the answer is. It could all be right. I don't know. Let's see what he says. He knew how to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu knew exactly what he was doing. We learn all these different types of tefillah from Moshe Rabbeinu. What was he doing for 40 days and 40 nights? When you could have just got away with a 18-minute shacharis. Hatzirutzu ein emes. Shele yesh kiven v'chituch. But true, tefillah has this aimed, penetrating, piercing, laser sharpness to it. Because shelokeh chadam ha'tefillah, v'kekeshet b'yodoi, person takes his tefillah and it's like a bow and arrow in his hand. Hereberia achas shemechaven. If you know where to aim it, if you know where to how to shoot and how to aim it, it goes in, it penetrates to the Shemaim, and it brings down infinite bracha. It's enough one tefillah to open up the door and to get everything you need from Shemaim. Aval, adain einu liskol shebo'imid lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu askinem. Remember, tefillah is ultimately, Oymed Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're standing in front of Hashem. Correct? If you're not, then who are you talking to? Because Hashem Yitpalo, Oy Tfila Kirishoyna, Harei Choyzim Al Atzman, Behudura, Tanina, Kol Anoyre Shemis. Now, what does that mean? Because Hashem Yitpalo, Oy Tfila Kirishoyna, when you're having another Tfila like the first one, Harei Choyzim Al Atzman, you're going back, in the second version, You're taking all that awesomeness that you had before and you're repeating it. So what's the point? But daimi tefillah b'zeh mamash l'toyre. Yiramru chazal. Kol dibu v'dibu sh'yeitzi v'pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'im nismale kolo ilam kulu b'shamayim. Every word that comes out of Hashem's mouth fills the entire world. Kolo ilam kulu b'shamayim. V'ikshu. Even shimi dibu rishon nismale dibu sh'yeni ha'ishen ha'ilef. If the first word that Hashem says fills the whole world, so where does the second word have place to land? There's no landing space. All the parking spots are taken, where do you park? If Hashem's first word fills the entire universe, then where's there room for another word? Hashem takes the wind out of his storehouse. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke at Sinai, the neshamas of Klal Yisrael went out of their bodies. So if they lost their lives from the first dibur, how did we get the second one? The solution was Hori Tal Shaosi Lichyot Bo Meisim. Hashem took the special tal, whatever you want to call that, that he's going to use in the future for Tchias HaMaisim, and he did Tchias HaMaisim on them. So now we have no clue what he's talking about. Eh? Nothing, not a clue. The truth is that the essence of every word of Torah takes total control and fills the entire world and everybody. Therefore, there is no space for another word. There's only space for dibur echot. That word of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinite. It fills every nook and cranny. There's no room for anything else afterwards. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu, shele gadluso ein cheker, Hashem can do whatever he wants. His greatness is unlimited. Boifen mufla. It's one of the greatest secrets of the universe. Nice and makam la'oy dibu la'oy dibu. He makes place for another dibu and another dibu. V'alkol mila v'mila v'alkol yagir v'yagir shel esek ha'toyra. Another word of Torah, another effort in Torah, another work in Torah. Zoyche l'kola in soifis od pam v'od pam ad bli tachlis. You're getting a piece of infinite and another piece of infinite and another piece of infinite and it's impossible. You're right. And I'll prove to you that it's impossible and I'll prove to you that it exists because you and I are talking to each other. Because if Hashem is infinite, there's no room for you and me. Correct? If Hashem's infinite, how's there space for you and me? If Hashem would come into the room now, we just get blasted into infinite. There is nothing other than Hashem's. How's there room for you and me in a table and a book and a shtender? That's one of the greatest secrets of the universe. It's called Tzimtzum. We don't understand how it works. We're not learning Kabbalistic in Yonim here, but that's the sugya you have to go learn. Hashem was mitzamtzem himself, means he hid himself in the Loshon of the Nefesh HaChayim, and that allows us miraculously to exist in the face of his infinite oneness. That means a word of Torah is infinite, fills our world, there's no room for another word. In Achinami. Hashem makes place for another word, and another word, and another word, and another word.
Don't understand.
Huh?
Don't understand.
Nobody does. What does infinite mean? All encompassing. There is nothing other than this. You said Shema today? When you said Echad, what did you have in mind? I have to make that call to the doctor. What were you thinking about when you said Echad? No, you don't have to. What's the kavana you have when you say Echad?
There is no other.
That means there's one and not two. Well, that's what Echad means.
Okay.
No, there's not what it means. No. Echad means there is only Hashem and nothing else.
The
difference is there's one God or there's two gods. The way I'm saying it is there's nothing else. Echad means he is everything. You said there's not one, there's not two gods, there's one God. I'm saying it's not that there's one God or two gods. There is nothing else. There isn't you and me or a table or a chair. It's Ein Oid Mil Vadoid.
And I'm God.
No, you're not God.
I'm part of God.
Again, what the consequence of we saying are we'll deal with. That's what infinite means. Infinite means there is nothing other than him because he is everything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in which you can live as an independent individual with Bechira, like God has Bechira. And that's the miracle of the Tzimtzum. And I don't know how to explain that. I'm not going to go into that. But that's reality. Hashem created a space in the world, so to speak. I don't want to say more that because I don't really know. Hashem created a space where he hid himself and allows us to exist in order that he can give us what he wants to give us. What's this? It's not part of Hashem. It is Hashem. Kepshutoy. The only problem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you Bechira because he wants you to be like him. And he put evil in the world. He put a Yetzer into the world. And you're being torn between the different places. But if you want to go through the world thinking you're God, that's fine. You're this all-powerful, infinite person. If that's who you think you are, Gesundheit, you understand that that's not correct. If you've understood the Tzimtzum, you come to that conclusion. I'm going to discuss it with you. We don't understand the Tzimtzum. We're not discussing that. I'm just explaining to you. That's what infinite means. Infinite means Ein Sof. No beginning, no end. Always was, always will be. All powerful, all good. Lo chasek klum, can never change. All the consequences of what it means. Take the Yud Gimel Ikarim and go through and look at them. You want to do it now? Sit with yourself.
Use your siddur.
You can ponder how new it was your siddur. Good question, huh? I saw it on your stena that, and I saw that. I've never seen this, and then it says, "Yeah, Shlomo David Chesna." Ruach HaKodesh. Talking all these Kabbalistic things. Anyway, it's not really relevant to what we're talking about, but since you're interested, let's just learn the Yud Gimel Ikarim. And Imami bin Ashleim, Shabbos Mashmoy, who Boyer Omanig Lakola Bruin. He created and runs, creates and runs everything. He does everything. There's nothing happening in the world. There's not a Shem. Nothing. There's no Nazis, there's no Hitler, there's no Stalin, there's no Sinva, there's no Hamas, there's no Netanyahu. And it's klum, 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 hakol Hashem. That's the first thing you give me the Korim. Who also, now, of course, there's millions of kashas on that, the Rambam wrote all safe and trying to deal with it. Why is Paro getting punished if he's just doing what Hashem told him to do because it's all the rots in Hashem? There's a lot of philosophical issues there, but that's the first thing you're doing. And he made Shlema Shabbos Bashmoy Hu Yochid, Vain Yechidois Kamayu, Bashumponim, Vahula Vadu Elokeinu, Haya Hoyve Vier. You have totally Muna that Hashem is one, and there's no oneness like his oneness. And he alone is God, was, is, and will be, past, present, and future. It means timeless. He's got no body. There's no way you can describe him with pictures, with words, with anything. There's nothing you can madam him to. They're going to say, well, he's like this, or he is like that, or he's like that. And of course, a lot of questions are raised. Yeah, but all the restraining, all the beforeshim. We talk about Hashem's hand and his outstretched arm. And he's like, So that's another whole sugya. If you share him just on that. And Imam Ibn Shlomo Shabbos Mashmoy, who Rishon V'Achron. He's the first and he's the last. He's the beginning and end. There's nothing before him. There's nothing after him. No, there's nothing before him. There's nothing after him. Okay, I'm not going into the whole limitless. This is also, there have been books written on this, Daniel. Lots and lots of books been written on this. But, for sure. Okay, then it just says that he's the only one to daven to, and then it goes on to about Nevuah and how he interfaces with us and how he interacts with us, and then what's going to be Bisgof Yomov, Mashiach, Tzich Salam Eisim. That's what we're dealing with. Dealing with Ein Sof. Therefore, if Hashem says a word, the word's him. It isn't like you and me. I'm me and I have a word. Hashem is one. That means when he says something, that's him. When you open up a Sefer Torah, that's Hashem. There's no parts in him. He's simple in the most simple form you can get. You have to learn Derech Hashem. I see here there's a big need to learn Derech Hashem. And basic fundamental, you say this, Derech Hashem. You want to understand God's mind? It would be easy. Let's see. Yeah. Basic yesodos of imunah need to be clear. Yeah. Anyway, you understand that if something's infinite, the first word he says fills the words. No, Hashem has an ability to be mavi rishon. That first word's still there, but he takes it out of the place, and then he makes place for another word, and another word, and another word. Whatever that means. Hallelujah. To us. I want to know why we have to dive in a long tefillah. That's what I'm trying to find out. And you're busy dragging around trying to understand what the infinite is. I don't know. We're trying to find out. I'm talking about myself. I want to know what this has to do with anything. So let's see what he says. There's no question that the correctly aimed, directed, focused tefillah, b'shem, katsu to Shemayim, Hashem yazet, like you, Yami, talking to you, like I, Yami, talking to me. You got the connection with Hashem, and you don't need to carry on asking for the same thing. Hevlei gvul v'tachlis. You've got there. There's no more boundaries. You've got there. You've arrived. Aval min niflois darche shemayim, in the wondrous ways of Hashem, v'ein lanu b'zeh shum tfisa. We have no way of grasping this. Don't even try. Shekol tfile v'tfile la'atzmo imun lochim bo, each tfile you give is lying there in front of Hashem. Each tefillah has the same qualities as the first one. It's ein seifis, more and more and more without any limitations. Somebody who understands this. He will never ever find tefillah too long or tiring. He knew what he was talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. We all find davening eventually, it's like, you know, he's so happy to find out that the Magza actually is half English. It means only 480 pages. He thought it was 960. You thought you were never going to go home. And that's when you're out, wow, you know, you just take one and then that answer all the putin. You're ecstatic, you know, as you're swaying from one leg to the other, you know, and the hadn't been on that word for 15 minutes. You know, it's like, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? No, if you understand what he's saying, yeah, now you'll never be tired in davening. You could daven the whole day and you'd never get tired of it. Because you'll see in what you're doing a whole variety of species and types and awesome different types of tefillah. It's all infinite and yet there's space for all of it to exist at the same time. Okay? I don't know. I'm infinite and you're infinite, and yet we managed to share the same space. Miraculous. Good. And he just said, you can't understand it. Each one needs its intense concentration. Okay. So the essence of tefillah is a well-aimed, focused, directed tefillah that hits the target, pushes the buttons, and the prize comes down. Yeah, and continues to come down. Okay, but now you've done it, so what are you doing more? Because you're Oymed Lifna Hashem and you're looking for the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're not just trying to get what you want. You're Oymed Lifna Hashem, and if you're Oymed Lifna Hashem, you're standing in front of the infinite. And then for each focus, tefillah is a new dimension of that relationship that keeps growing and growing and growing. Why don't you say one word of Torah? You shouldn't have to say another word of Torah. Because that word of Torah is infinite. Don't get any ideas. That word is infinite and it fills our world. There's no room for another word of Torah. That Hashem's Mavi Rishon Rishon. He takes away the one, makes space for the next one, the next one, the next one, the next one, the next one. All a chenek of the infinite we can't understand. There's a halacha, you know, that if a person's in a mokum sakana or he's in a place where he can't daven a normal tefillah, he should daven a tefillah katsara, short tefillah. What should he say? Hashem is Amcho, is Sheris Israel. B'kol parshas ha'ibu yetzrachem lefanecho. That's it. That's the whole of Shmoneh Esrei v'yotzi tefillah. V'chein sham Rabbi Chanunah ben Akanai mitpadel b'knisosa lebeis hamidrash b'tziyosei tefillah ketzora. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is from the greatest of the Tanoim. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai stood up for him. He was so great. He wrote a Kabbalistic Sefer long before the Zohar that nobody really understands because it's so great. But the whole Zohar was based on Rabbi Chunah's teaching. So he made this little tefillah. You know, when you go into the Beis Midrash today, they publish it. They print it in all the Gemaras. The tefillah you make when you come learn, and the tefillah when you say when you leave learn. When you go out of the Beis Midrash. They asked him, Ma'amakom the tefillah there? What's the story with this tefillah? I shouldn't come to making wrong decisions. No negativity should come from anything I do in my learning. You see, there's this thing called the Tfilah Ketzorah. In a moment of tzorah, in a moment of sakana, a person should daven a short, well-designed, well-aimed, clear, cutting, penetrating tefillah. The uniqueness of it is comes from clarity, total clarity, imuna, total imuna, and being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval, there's room for a tefillah aricho because the relationship with Hashem is developing. I told you the Maaseh of Don at the airport, yeah? Rav Don, he picked up last night. I told you the story of Don at the airport. No, I'll tell it again. If you've heard it, it's good to hear it again. He was at the airport and they were waiting to get onto the plane. So they decided to daven Ma'ariv. Daven Ma'ariv. So while they're davening Ma'ariv, everyone's finished davening Ma'ariv. Don's still davening Shmoneh Esrei. Anybody's ever gone, it's good to go out to his base midrash once in your life to Rav Don on Rosh Chodesh to see what tefillah is supposed to look like. Don't imitate him afterwards because it looks silly. But it's good to see what a Jew who's connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and is real with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what the tefillah looks like. Okay, anyway, the Ron's a big Tval tefillah. He's to be the Tval tefillah Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, whatever. Anyway, he knows how to daven. He's a shtick tefillah. So what's the secret of his tefillah? So they're waiting to board the plane. He's davening Shmoneh Esrei. Eventually they announce, everybody please board the plane now. The gates are closing. You've got to get onto the plane. Yeah? And Rav Don's davening Shmoneh Esrei. So the person who was there with him, I don't know, the Bacha, Ish Thomas, anyone's with him, whispers in his ear, you know, we need to go, Rebbe. And he just carries on davening. What I'm going to say now is not the story. Everyone gets excited about this part. This is nothing. While he's busy davening, they announce that there's been a slight delay and we're not going to be boarding. Yeah, anyone loves that part of the story. If Don finishes davening, he takes 3 steps back, they board onto the plane, call the seven, yeah? So he's told me, says to him, is that the correct way to behave? He wants to know. That's what you're supposed to do. You miss your plane. You miss Shmoneh Esrei. You know it, boarding the plane, and you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, so you miss your plane. Is that what you're supposed to do? He said, no, that's not the correct Hanaga. The correct Hanaga is you stop davening, you get onto the plane. But what could I do? It was just too difficult to leave. I just couldn't say goodbye. That's what we're talking about here. He'd had his tefillah ketzora. He'd said what he needed to say, and he penetrated into the Shemayim. But there's another word, and there's another word, and there's another aspect of this infinite, and there's another facet to this diamond. There's 515 facets to Moshe Rabbeinu's davening. When Miriam is in suffering, she's suffering from Saras, it says, Tel no refonolo. You worry about somebody else's health, you worry about somebody else's suffering, it's not the time for you to have a nice time with a chef. There you take a sword, and you rip the Shemaim apart. Manasseh is being boiled, medium rare. Okay, he's supper tonight. That's not the time to, you know, have a nice, warm, cuddly relationship with Hashem. That's the time to get the heck out of there. One bullet, one hand grenade, hydrogen bomb, hand grenade, you blow yourself out of there, yeah? But there's time as well to another tefillah and another tefillah because you're Oymed Lifnei Mokav, you're standing in front of Hashem. It's not about the tefillah, it's about the relationship. That's the room for the tefillah richus. Is to know I'm touching another piece of the infinite and another piece and another piece and another piece. So you have to know when to use which one. Again, this is a toolbox and you're putting tools in. You have to know which tool to use when. And you learn a few other things along the way that you didn't know.
You have tonight's opportunity, tomorrow morning's opportunity.
You have tomorrow? So let me tell you something, young man. You don't have anything other than now, but deeper than that. Let's go a little bit deeper than that. Okay? Every moment is unique, and every tefillah is unique. And the tefillah you daven now, you'll never daven again. And if you didn't daven it now, you'll never get it again. Because tomorrow's tefillah is another tefillah. And it's another day, and it's another part of your neshama. You can't say, well, I learned very well yesterday, so today I'm not learning. Because your neshama from today is hungry. Your neshama from yesterday is very full, but your neshama today is very hungry. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, and again, I'm not telling you to understand what he says, I'm just telling you the words, yeah? That a person is made up of a neshama. We don't know what a neshama is, yeah? Every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down one part of that neshama. And it does what it's supposed to do, and then it goes back to Shemaim at night. When before you go to sleep, you say, I'm entrusting into you this neshama. When you wake up in the morning, you say, Shechzati mi'nishmosi, you give me back my neshama. Which part? Another part. And then that part goes back. In the days, Hashem will make all the cheshboinus of all the gilgulim and the whole thing, whatever, it'll all come together and you'll have one united entity. Aval, you can't say, well, yeah, there's tomorrow. Because tomorrow is another neshama, it's another day, it's another story, and this day was lost. And this day never come back again. And you need all the days and all the parts and all the pieces. Don't put off tomorrow something you can do today. Yeah? Or where I come from, they say, if you can put off tomorrow, why bother doing it today? So you can choose it, so whichever way you want to. Yeah. Manana, you know, there's another day. Tomorrow is another day. Rav Pinkus was once at a Sheva Brach, and it was getting late. And one of the Rabbonim there, one of the Choshbonim said, Rabbosai, tomorrow's another day. I have to go to bed. Rav Pinkus got up and said, today's also another day, and he gave another brosha. No, they're both right. Tomorrow's another day, I need to go to sleep. I need to prepare for tomorrow. Why are you going to sleep tonight? To rest from the day before? No, to prepare for tomorrow. You got to get ready for tomorrow. I have to make myself for tomorrow. But today is also another day. Today also I have to use this day fully. If you need to go to sleep, go to sleep. If you can give another brosha, give another brosha. They're both right. If you know which one to use when. So if tomorrow Shir Ragil 9:30 Bezrat Hashem Tainis Esther. Tainis Esther is very, we've got 2 minutes, just to make this point clear in case you don't know. Tainis Esther is very different from all the other fasts we have. All the other fasts we have, when they fall on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos, we make them later. We push them off. Because we're not magdiming peronios. We don't like bringing forward suffering and punishments. Teshubah falls on Shabbos, you have Teshubah on Sunday. Why don't you do it on Thursday? Because we're not magdiming peronios. We don't look for trouble. You don't bring it forward. So how come Tainis Esther we might give him? Tainis Esther falls on Shabbos. But do it on Sunday. Why do you make it on Thursday? Because not the Taina of Peronios. It's the Taina of Tfilah and miracles. It's not the usual Taina, the usual fast of suffering. All the other fasts, we fast because of a Churban that happened. Yeah, we fast in order to prevent the Churban, and the Churban got prevented. The Yom Shal Tfilah, the Yom Shal Nisim, they say the segula of the tefillahs of Tainis Esther, Ma'od Ma'od Chazak, very, very powerful. Today to David, Klal Yisrael's in a lot of tzoros. Don't waste the time on Arishkat. Use it properly. The Yom Shal Tfilah, the Nisim. You know what the big Nais was? That's not a subject now. The 14 reasons, I think, why Esther invited Haman to the feast. I think the Gemara there brings 14 reasons, if I'm not mistaken. Eliyahu Navi, the Gemara said that she had all those in mind. Which was the one she had? The 14 reasons why she invited him to the feast. Eliyahu Navi said she had all those 14 reasons in mind. One of the reasons she invited Haman to the feast was because people were saying, we got Esther in the palace. Mordechai's Esther's in the palace. Akol Tov, what do we have to worry about? We've got our Koich Vayitzimyoni. We don't need to daven. And she saw that and she realized that was the biggest sakana. She let them know that she turned traitor. She's busy having feasts with Haman. She's busy hanging out with Haman, and then she's having parties with him and whatever. They went into terror. We don't have the protector in the palace anymore, and they started davening. Why? She wanted them to realize it's only Hashem. If you're putting your trust on this one and this one and this one and this one and this one, you're trusting all your ishtatas, you're in a lot of trouble. That's why she wanted them on this day to be davening to Hashem and only Hashem, to recognize the Ein Oid Milvadoi, that there's nothing else to rely on. You've got something to rely on today? There's something that you can see, but derech hateva, you can get out of the mess we're in? I'd like to hear it. I'd like to hear the derech hateva that can save us right now. There isn't. I'm not saying you don't have to make ishtadlis. You have to make these silly little peace treaties and whatever. You may have to do that. I don't know, because that's sometimes chokhmah. You have to know how to deal with the, you know, whatever. You don't need to know how to deal with it. I don't know how to deal with that. I mean, if you think that's the solution, you think that's the solution, you think that's what's going to save you, or you're in a lot of trouble. There's one solution. Tzakot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yishma Hashem es tzak v'asom. How is Klal Yisrael getting out of Mitzrayim? They weren't ever getting out of Mitzrayim. Never. There was no way out of there. No one had ever escaped from that prison. How did they get out? V'yishma Hashem es tzak v'asom. Hashem heard these screams. You have to recognize, like you said the other day, the enormity of the Sakana. Then you can scream to Hashem, and then you can have a talk, and then Hashem will do whatever he has to do. But without that, we're in a lot of trouble. So tomorrow's an important day. Don't waste it.